Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of RacesOnTheWeb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Joining you live here from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can interact with us tonight via the Twitter account at TJ Slideways, also TJ at TJSlideways.com on email. You can look us up on Facebook as well, TJSlideways.com. And a huge breaking news today in Sprint Car Racing, story we did not expect to take place today. Sammy Swindell, one of the big three of winged Sprint Car Racing and Sprint Car Racing as a whole, for basically my entire lifetime, announced his retirement from competitive Sprint Car Racing. The press release from Inside Line Media indicates Swindell will compete at the Chili Bowl Nationals going forward, but his days in the winged Sprint Car world are done. So Sammy Swindell has officially retired from Sprint Car Racing. And of course, you can go to our Facebook page and check out and interact, share your thoughts of Sammy retiring. We're also going to be burning up the scanner tonight, scanning old Sammy Swindell photos for our Sammy retrospective gallery. And we'll have more on it on the website to come. But a huge announcement in a year where Steve Kinser announced this will be his final full season on the World of Outlaws Tour, Sammy Swindell walking away from Sprint Car Racing entirely. And I said it on social media earlier today, and I'm actually serious about this, that I was actually even surprised there was a press release. I figured it would just be a walk away deal and I'm done. And literally, we see a movie, art film, and it'll say Finn at the end with dark letters. I mean, I expected it to be that abrupt. But Sammy going to step away and spend time with his son. His son's racing career is starting to blossom in the NASCAR Nationwide Series. At this point, he's going to run Chili Bowl. I've seen some people suggest, well, maybe him and Steve are setting up to do a Steven Stammy barnstorming tour. I really don't see that. I think this is it for him. I think he's going to be okay stepping away at this point. And, you know, most people would probably picture Sammy wearing the black hat in our sport, being the person that wore the villain role. And in some degrees, yes, in the race fans' eyes, but I mean, I always joke that he'd always get the most boos, but yeah, have one of the longest lines every time for an autograph or a t-shirt after the race. And what I found interesting is even after that fan reaction, he would be at the t-shirt trailer signing autographs. Him and Steve are very good about that because that's the era they were brought up in, and just shown by other drivers. That's what you did after the races. You went, stuck around for the fans, and they were always more than accommodating, both Steve and Sammy, but Sammy in particular, especially some of the responses he got over the years, would be tough to do, I imagine, at some point. But seeing him and Amy around the racetrack will be it'll be weird not seeing him there. Amy's been more than helpful over the years with whatever we might need, and from media stuff to even, you know, making sure I was getting the right size t-shirt for my son, you know, just things like that. It's just hard to fathom that this era is starting to come to an end, that if you're in the mid-30 something, younger, you know, maybe a hair older, even, this has been your whole life. You've seen these, you know, Sammy Swindell is one of the big three, the original big three of the World of Outlaws, and Sammy stepping away today. A very, I don't want to say sad day, because, you know, he's accomplished so much, I don't think it's really a sad ending. Be honest, it's just closing the book on it, you know, the end of a book of an incredible career for Sammy Swindell. So more on that a little later in the program. We're going to have Randy Hannigan on if we can get a hold of him. We're trying, and we're in no luck so far, but we're going to try to get Hannigan on. We're going to talk about his win in the inaugural Renegade Sprint Car Series event. He's also this year won 8 features, 4 of which were SOD NRA Challenge races, which earns no easy feat. So he's won 4 of those this year. We'll talk about that. Robbie Stillwagon's going to join us later on the show. He's picked up the win, or Stillwagon did, at Steelers Grove Speedway on Saturday night. And he's kind of an interesting cat. Does some 410, some 360 racings, not afraid to hit the road. If all goes well, they're still slated to go to the Canadian Nationals and take on the Short Track Nationals later in the year. And then finishing off the show tonight, Caleb Griffith, the 410 Sprint Car Champion, recently crowned at Attica Raceway Park, a driver that's won 305 and 410 championships during his career. We're going to talk about how it feels to be only the ninth driver to pick up a track championship at the Attica Raceway Park. But this previous week, due to work and just busyness all around, I wasn't able to make the SmackDown, so we went ahead and went to the Berlin Raceway for the Must-See Racing Extreme Sprint Car Series event. And I've been wanting to get over to Berlin because they've done a ton of improvements over there. In the World of Outlaw Show and Sideshow coming up later in the year, at least wanted to get there one time before that to check it out. If you have not been to Berlin Raceway yet, and you have in the past, it's not your father's Berlin Raceway anymore. Brand new, beautiful aluminum grandstands, high-rise suites, a beautiful concourse area, shaded, tons of things for fans, different varieties of food, souvenirs, all kinds of stuff under the grandstands now in the shade because it does face the west. It's even added bonus there. But it is just, the facility looks immaculate. It's Musco lights away from basically having everything you could think of done to the facility to make it better. And it just was an amazing view. I went about three quarters of the way up the stands for hot laps. It's an amazing view up there. It's going to provide some amazing viewing angles for that World of Outlaws program, the late models and sprint cars, later in the year. Eventually made our way to the infield. It's kind of interesting. I haven't worked a race in the infield in a long time. Did it old school Saturday night from the infield fairgrounds tower. Now at the scoring towers across the racetrack, I took Steve Kaminsky's seat over there and decided, hey, I'm going to try this from here. And I don't think it's going to work out that well for the World of Outlaws that they parked the haulers inside. But, you know, for this race, it worked out okay. And we worked all night off there with the little tablet that could and saw Troy DeCare absolutely dominate on Saturday night. DeCare has got to be thinking Berlin is one of his favorite racetracks now if it wasn't before. Of course, he had the big win there several years ago in the one of Ron Kohler's cars, a huge upset, late race pass of Jason Blonde to win that race. But this time, he just blew him away in Dick Fuehler's car. We had a chance to talk to Troy immediately following the event, and here's what he had to say. Troy DeCare, we were talking earlier that Berlin Raceway might have to become your favorite racetrack pretty soon. Dominant performance tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to take it from like a New Smyrna or a Winchester, but man, every time I seem to come here, I mean, I can't ask for anything better. I hardly run outside the top two, and I've led probably more laps here than I ran anywhere else, and I just, something about this place likes me, and I'm not mad at it. I'm definitely very fortunate to. This place gives a lot of people a lot of, you know, a headache, and it's a hard place to run sometimes, especially when your car isn't just right. And fortunately, I drive a car like this one that was just right all night. Looking at the rear tires here, I mean, they're brand new looking, and that's rare for this joint.
And lots of caution flags tonight. How nervous were you getting towards the end when you start seeing the 50 on the board behind you and stuff with only a handful of laps to go?
Well, actually, the first couple laps after every restart, my car kept getting better, and they said I was dropping down in 13 sixes and fives and stuff, and that's close to what I qualified at. And luckily, this place hooks us up kind of like the Chili Bowl, so going down the backstretch, I had a rearview mirror on that big scoreboard down there, so I kept peeking up at it, and I didn't see nothing around me. I didn't feel nothing, and I told my guys on that red, I was just riding, because there was too damn many cautions, and just riding, and I'm like, man, do I need to go? They're like, no, you're good, and I'm like, all right, well, the last five laps hung her out, and they said I ran a couple sixes and sevens there, you know, lap 30 here, that's pretty awesome, and you know, I can't thank Dick Fuehler enough, DJ Racing, him and his wife give me a heck of an opportunity to drive this race car. Brad Brewer and Ross Rankin and Big Mike here, they really do a lot of hard work for me and make me look good.
Did you have to make any changes to even roll the wing back at all, or did you just pretty much push her off and drive her?
Yeah, I mean, you're always kind of, I mean, with any kind of cars, like we were talking about the dirt cars, we trunk them up too just as bad. And you find those sweet spots in here where we'll float the front end real easy if we get her too far back. But I was able to just every five, six laps or so, pull her back a little bit, just to keep where I can go straight and not haze the tires off here. And I mean, it never gave up on me. Looking at that right rear, I've never had a car this good. As many races as I've won here and as good as we've done, I've never had one this good.
And one more question. Even though it's the final point race, still a lot of racing to go. How much momentum does this give you guys going into Salem, Anderson, and these other places?
Yeah, this is our fifth or sixth win, and we got a bunch. I mean, coming into this, we had like a 2.6 average on finish, but we might have boosted that up a little bit. And it's good. We're going to Atlanta next week. I got Atlanta, possibly Anderson, New Smyrna, Angola. I got three races next week, and it never hurts rolling in on a win. So hopefully I can double up at Atlanta on Friday and carry that maybe to New Smyrna or Anderson.
All right, congratulations, Troy.
Thanks, TJ.
Troy DeCare, one of the most entertaining folks in sprint car racing. It was good to see him pick up the win. And it was also championship night for the Must See Racing Series, the Must See Racing 7, a Michigan-based series, all Michigan events, special mini-series with Jimmy McCune picking up the championship in that. And it was a pretty special night for McCune and his crew. And we did have a moment to catch him just as the hauler was loading up, and here's what Jimmy McCune had to say about winning the Michigan Must See 7.
Jimmy McCune, kind of a up and down night, but it ended with a must-see Michigan championship and a nice run through the field after the tire change.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy night. Ended up figuring out that we just had a bad tire. We got a new one for the heat race and the slash, and it just made the car dead loose, and I didn't really get to adjust on it and didn't realize that until after the second race that the tire was bad. So we put the old ones right back on for the feature, and just fast right from the get-go. I mean, I could run and pace Troy and kind of hang with him about 10 cars back, and I was kind of happy with that because nobody was pressuring me, and unfortunately, we cut a tire down. So,
At what point did you feel you cut it down? Did you know right away, or did it take a couple laps?
It was a couple laps. I knew something wasn't right because I started pushing really bad, and the 50 car went by me, and then I tried to knock the fence down on the front straight away, and then this 07 got underneath me, and I'm like, all right, something wrong. And I had one of the guys check the tire for me, and they said everything looked good, but after starting weaving a little bit more, I could feel the rim starting to hit the ground, so I knew I had a problem.
And, of course, able to work your way back up and enough to secure the Michigan championship. What does that mean for you at this point, you know, win like the mini series championship for you personally?
It says we had a hell of a great two-thirds of the last season, but I can't complain, man. We had a great season. I don't know how you get over it. I mean, this is the first time we haven't been on the front stretch all year, so we went to the tail at halfway, came back to fourth, so had a chance for third to get on the podium again, and just didn't have enough, so I can't complain, man. It's been a hell of a season.
So at this point, we've seen Anthony running a little bit. Where are we going to see two wing cars possibly out of the stable, or is that an option at this point?
It's an option. I just don't know exactly when we're going to address that. We're just trying to get him laps, get him comfortable, and get him winning races there, and then, take the progression and start doing some other things. So, but I think you'll probably see me up there a little bit more next year, too.
Oh, cool. So a little more Jimmy McKee as well. And for you, what's in store for the rest of the season?
Be honest with you, I don't know. It's kind of up in the air. We trying to sort out our engine program right now, trying to get some stuff back together, and I was hoping to put this one away, tonight. It's got a lot of nights on it, but I don't know. We got a couple more must-see shows left this year, and there's a couple of ABSS races we'd like to hit, so we'll just see how that works out.
All right, Jimmy McCune, your Michigan must-see champion.
And that was Jimmy with some pretty good spirits considering the flat tire and everything. He was running up front, and look how he's biding his time. He might have had something for DeCare, but it'd be hard to believe DeCare was really strong on Saturday night. And your second place finisher, Brian Gerster, and by the way, it's the first time I've ever seen him not win in Dick Meyer's 50M car, finished in the second spot, but that was enough to secure the 2014 Must See Racing Championship, his second in a row. And afterwards, Brian shared his thoughts with us on winning a second championship with Dick Meyer's.
Brian Gerster, second championship, congratulations. For you, coming into a night like this, when you have a championship on the line, how mentally straining is it leading up to it till you get to the racetrack?
I'd lie if I told you I didn't think about it a little bit this week. We were in a good position. We had a little bit of a point lead coming into the night, but we were still close enough that if we had had any kind of problem, Jimmy would have been able to take it away from us. So we had a good, smooth night. Struggled just a little bit kind of back and forth with the race car, but my engineer Dick Myers got it dialed in, and car owner Deborah Myers gives me a good race car here. So Rick Ferguson, Jason Lynch, those guys help us every single week take care of this thing. So it puts me a little bit at ease that we got such a good group of guys and a good race car. So we thought about it a little bit this week, but we were able to get here, and once you start racing, it's all good.
And then during the feature, you had multiple yellows, a fuel stop. How does that change it when you see so many of these ring races go green to checkered on the blacktop when you have a lot of stoppages like that?
It didn't hurt my feelings any, because we in just a heads-up fight with Troy, he was just a little bit better out in front of us in clean air, and when we were behind him, I just didn't quite have enough when I was close to him to make a run on him. So I figured if we kept getting restarts, we were still trying to win the race. So that was the main thing. We were able to, Jimmy had a little bit of trouble there, and I don't know if we got by him before he had his trouble or whatever, but disappointed for him, because I think he won the Michigan part of this championship, and we won the national part of it. But so it's kind of cool for both of us. This was a real pleasure this year, you know, the people we were racing with and stuff. I enjoyed it, and good folks and good hard racing, and, you know, I'm glad to come out on top again.
How difficult is it with these cars being, trying to chase down someone that is in clean air like that? Does it make it almost impossible unless they hit traffic, or do you have to be a lot better than someone in clean air to be able to catch them?
You've got to be a little bit better than them, and then the other thing that kind of works in your advantage sometimes is if you can get them in lap traffic and get them boxed in, or if maybe your car works on a little different line than theirs and you can get the thing into clean air, you can maybe still race them. But if they're running where you want to run and you're kind of stuck following them, you know, you're always hunting around trying to get clean air and see if you can make a move on them. But if you're stuck behind them and they're in your lane, it's a challenge to get by somebody. So I you know, Troy was pretty good, but I think if we were ahead of him, we might have been able to hold him off. But that's just the way the thing shook out, and that's the way it worked.
Speaking of different lines on this end of the racetrack, in 3 and 4, it looked like there were a couple times where a different line almost met the infield a couple of times. But that seems to be a line that you see the pavement cars use quite a bit here at Berlin.
Yeah, it is. You know, you kind of roll in, and then coming off of 4 right there where the exit gate is, you get pretty low down there. Sometimes, you know, you're just using up every bit of asphalt you can, and some of that's dictated by the way your car's handling or by the guy in front of you or whatever. So hopefully they put dirt down there when they get the Outlaws in here and let those guys run down there too. But, you know, Berlin's a great racetrack. There's a huge crowd here every time we show up here, and it's always fun to come up, you know, in the Grand Rapids area and race. So it's a good crowd tonight. The weather held off, and, you know, we had a lot of fun. It was cool.
Second championship, what does it mean for you personally at this stage in your career?
It's really neat. You know, I didn't know I was going to have an opportunity to run for a championship, you know, as old as I was getting and kind of the way things were going. So the last couple of years for Deborah Myers and Dick Myers to go ahead and make the commitment to go to all the races for us to run for the championship, and then, you know, the 2 years that we've tried to do it, we've been able to get it done. That's awful neat for us. So I'm proud of those guys. It's their third championship with a wing sprint car, and it's my second one. So we get along real well. There's good chemistry. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure what the future holds for us, but I know we're going to be racing, and, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the second one, and you know, we still got a couple more races to go. I'd really like to win that show at Salem here in a little later on in the year. You know, that's one marked on our calendar, so we'll see if we can get that done too.
All right, Brian Gerster, another Must-See Racing Championship.
And first of all, I want to thank everyone at Berlin Raceway and Must-See Racing for hosting us on Saturday night. It was a great time, and I look forward to doing it again in September when the World of Outlaws come to town. So that's going to wrap up the first segment of our show. We did connect with Randy Hannigan. He's going to be on at the tail end of the show, but when we come back from the commercial break, we're going to have Robbie Steelwagon on. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring legfoots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Cade on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and zero admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic, presented by Casey Kinn, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest was the feature winner Saturday night at Seelands Grove Speedway. He does a little, quite a bit of 360 racing, mixes in a little 410 racing with it as well. And we're talking off air, is getting ready to head up to Oswego here in a few weeks for the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. And we're going to kick off looking ahead to the Canadian Nationals with Robbie Stillwagon. Robbie, thanks for taking time out to join us tonight.
Oh, not a problem. I enjoy every time I get a chance to talk to you guys and talk about racing.
Oh, for sure. And congratulations Saturday night, man, picking up the win. And first off, how great did it feel to be basically the only one in central Pennsylvania to get to go racing this past weekend?
Yeah, a lot of people asked about, you know, how is it to win at Seelands Grove? I said, really, it's just nice to race. I said, everybody's on, you know, the message boards and everything saying how they got rained out here and rained out there. And we got the race, which is an important thing, and we ended up coming home with the win, which is even better.
How sketchy was it there weather-wise, or did they basically get completely missed by all that stuff?
It was a little overcast, cloudy all night. We never had any sprinkles or anything. When we went on the way out to the track, we ran through rain probably for about half the time, and then on the way home, we got about 10 minutes from the track, and the roads were soaked, and it was raining pretty hard, and it rained all the way home, so I think we just got lucky and got caught in the opening there where we can get the whole race in.
And talk us through how you got up front at Seelands Grove.
Well, we started fifth in the heat race, had a good start on the bottom, moved right into third, and then coming off of four, we ended up getting the lead. Led all the heat race, I guess, and Mark Smith was catching us there at the end. So for the feature, we knew we needed to have a good start to kind of run and hide from Mark Smith and couple of those other guys. TJ Stutz had a real fast there. Had another good start, started eighth, I guess, and we made it up to fifth right away, then moved into third after the red, and kind of picked our way up in a couple laps. I guess by lap 10, we had the lead and kind of just checked out, sailing a little bit, and we had a caution with five to go with Stutz right behind us, and we turned our best lap on, I guess, lap 22 and 23. The car was really good at the end of the race, which helped, and just glad to be come home with the win.
And you've done some racing at Sealance Grove this year quite a bit, and they're in the middle of a transition right now from the 358 sprints to the 360s. How do you think that change is going so far from what you see from your trips to Sealance Grove?
Sealance Grove has a lot of tough competition. There's a lot of good cars there, a lot of guys with, you know, fresh 360 motors because they switched over to 360s. A lot of the guys are kind of phasing out their 358s. There's a couple guys there that are still running at 358s and have good, strong races. The 360s just seem to take off a little bit better on the start. And coming off the corner, they seem to pull a little bit better. But if you can get up top and hooked up, I don't think it matters all that much. But the 360 is definitely the preferred motor. Sealance Grove is doing a great job. I think they're going to be one of the first tracks in central Pennsylvania to switch over to 360s. There's way too many 360s around, especially throughout the country, for all these other tracks to not allow the 360s to run with the 358s. The 360s is a nice deal because you can sell your motor throughout the country. You can buy parts anywhere you want. Whereas the 358 is kind of centralized in Pennsylvania, and you can't really travel with it.
Robbie Stillwagon joining us, and traveling is something that you guys do. We see you all over the place. We've seen you at the Kings Royal and Eldora, Ashwegan, and why do you guys like the travel? Because you do, you know, I mean, you have a plethora of racing by you in a relatively close proximity, but why do you like to get out on the road and see different places?
Well, it's a family thing, first and foremost. I go with my dad, my brother, my mom, and my girlfriend come most of the time, but even the crew, Mikey, Byrne, Keith and Wawa, they're all like family. We've been around each other for most of us for 7 years since I've been racing, and it's almost like vacation when we go away. We get to spend all week together, and to go to different tracks, especially like the Kings Royal and Ashwegan and Knoxville, it's really neat just to get away and run with different cars. And usually when you go to different tracks, you're running with different drivers, especially in Knoxville. You're running with some of the best drivers in the country. A lot of the 410 guys are running there, and it makes you a better driver when you come back home. So anytime you can go travel and run with better cars or different cars, always makes you better, and I think when we come back, we're a better car.
Robbie Stillwagon joining us, and you do quite a bit of 410 racing, too. You mix it in. How much 410 racing do you guys maybe have planned for the rest of the year, if any, and might you up the number of 410 shows for next year?
This year, we probably ran about 12 410 races, a lot of sixth-place finishes, seventh-place finishes. We crashed out of one, but we had a lot of good, solid finishes. We blew the motor up at Hagerstown, so we're kind of on hiatus for the rest of the year. Next year, we're hoping to have everything back ready, where we can run about 20 races with our 410. And I'm kind of working on another deal with another team where I can get about 20 races with them. So hopefully next year I can run about 40 410 races. That would be ideal for us.
Robbie Stillwagon possibly doing some more 410 racing next year. And, of course, we have the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals coming up. When did you first start hearing about this event, and what interested you in going to it?
My brother saw it on the Internet one day, and he's the guy that kind of plans all the races where we go and everything. And he saw that they were getting 80 cars. At one point, I guess they were getting 100 cars, and he said, hey, look at this race. It pays well. Three nights of racing by the time you got your practice night, your feature the first night, and the feature the second night. So it was a good time to get laps at a track, and you weren't at a disadvantage because you could run there two nights ahead of time. And it was a chance to run with better cars again. I mean, if you have 80 cars, there's got to be, I mean, when you go to this weekend, there's 80 cars and there's 80 good cars. So it's always going to make you better when you travel, like I said before. And just the chance to run with different cars and just experience something different. It's a beautiful track up there, a beautiful facility. Glenn Steyer, he really does an amazing job, even with the safety crew. And it's a top-notch deal, and we just really like going up there.
And when you go back home, because we don't really see that many URC drivers and teams come up there, what do you tell teams to ask you about it, and how often do you get asked what it's like to go up there?
They ask all the time, and I think you'll see Frantic will travel a lot more next year after he gets his championship out of the way. I think you'll probably see him at Eldora, maybe Knoxville, and probably Canada. He'll travel a lot. Dan Mazzi, Racer X, I think he'll be up in Canada this year. And we keep spreading the word, telling everybody how great of an event this is. And I think in a couple of years, we'll probably get, you know, maybe four, possibly five URC guys to go up there every year, which would be great.
Now, one question I always get is, well, what do you have to do to get your race team across the border? And what better guy to ask than a guy that has to do it? So I know from our side, because we're a border state, we can do all kinds of stuff with our driver's licenses and stuff and just go right across. But for you guys, what do you have to have ready to go across the border? And do you find it's easier than most people make it out to be?
Most of the time, it's really simple, especially getting into Canada. We show them our passports. We don't usually have a problem. When we come back into the United States, sometimes we do have a problem. We try to go late or early in the morning. That way it's not too busy. And, you know, most of the time we don't have a problem. One time we had a problem where they asked us to get out of the truck and they just looked through the trailer real fast and let us go. But usually we're in and out of the border checkpoint in probably about 30 minutes, so it's not that bad. Just once in a while, you kind of get stuck up there for a little bit.
And to be perfectly honest, half the time, they just want to see the race car or the trailer. Let's be honest. They think it's cool. So,
Yeah.
Robbie Stillwagon.
I think you're right. I think they just want to look at it.
Robbie Stillwagon joining us on the line. Well, Robbie, congratulations on the win Saturday, and thanks for helping us kick off the Canadian Nationals, the look at that. And I'm sure you have some people to thank before we go.
Oh, yeah, of course. I got to thank my mom and dad, Quality Autobody, my grandpa. My Uncle Fred, Fred's Trailer Parts, ISC Salesmaster, CMB Mushrooms, and my crew. Couldn't do it without my brother. He's the crew chief. He makes all the cars on the car. Mikey, Vern, Ryan, I said Ryan, Wawa, Danielle, and all the guys that really make this deal happen. We couldn't do it without them, especially if they don't come to the shop. You know, it's more than just going to the races with your crew. You got to have them come to the shop and help you out there, make sure your car's ready to go.
All right, well, congratulations, Robbie, and look forward to seeing you in a few weeks up at Oshawegan.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you, too.
All right, that's Robbie Stillwagon. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Caleb Griffith's going to tell us about his Attica Track Championship. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Cade on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic, presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Of course, we shuffled the program order a little bit. We're going to add a segment tonight. Randy Hannigan going to close out the show tonight. But right now on the line, we have your 2014 track champion at Attica Raceway Park. And Caleb Griffith, how does that feel to hear that? You're the 2014 410 Sprint Car Champion there. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm still not sure it's entirely sunk in, especially the way the last few weeks here have gone. But, yeah, it's quite an accomplishment. We were pretty happy.
You and Chris Andrews have had kind of an interesting road to race to this championship. You guys started out pretty hot. Like you said, you both have kind of had stumbling points at some point, but your team managed to persevere through that. Why don't you explain to people over the past couple of weeks what happened to you guys and how some of the teams rallied around to help you guys?
We had, starting a month ago or so, it's been the last four or five times we've been to the racetrack. Every time we've been to the racetrack, drop the trailer door and something goes wrong. One night we blew a wing slider line off in hot laps, soaked the mag box, went out again, blew another slider line off, soaked the mag box, and it was just a mad scramble. We were in the first heat race that night, so got lucky, made it through all that. Come back the next week, had a huge vibration in hot laps, and found we had a U-joint with two big, gigantic cracks in it. So that night there, we were in the first heat race again. Cole and Rodney Duncan, Greg Wilson, Mark Imler and his bunch, Craig Mintz, Travis Philo, there was 10 or 15 different people at different points in time down there helping us, and we were literally putting tires and body panels on, and two-thirds of the cars in our heat race were already on the racetrack. We got the car out, made it through the heat race that night, and then this past week we showed up and had rolled it out of the trailer, and there's a puddle of power steering fluid under the car. Can't figure out why. So there was a crack fitting on the power steering pump, so we got that taken care of. But yeah, it's just been one thing after another, and it's like I keep telling the guys, you know, we're just not smart enough to give up. That's a lot of times, I think, why we have success.
Caleb Griffith joining us. Now, when you have problems like that, on one hand, you think, man, when's it going to end? But how much extra confidence does that give you and your race team and everyone else around you when you guys can persevere through things like that?
Well, that's the big thing. If you put your nose to the grindstone, you can get through it. It brings the whole team closer together, and like you say, after you get through it, it just shows you what you're capable of. But if you let it beat you down, it certainly will. And there's been times for us, and I'm sure for everybody that does this, that you just feel like it's never going to end, and you can't catch a good break for whatever reason. But then again, there's other times where, you know, something happens that maybe was a little bit unexpected and sets a different spin on the night that's really in your favor. So it all averages out. It might not seem like it at some points in time, but the good balances the bad.
You know, when I first met you, you were one of the 305 kids. In fact, I joke, you're kind of like one of the original 305 kids. You're one of the first people I remember seeing in that division that didn't have a driver's license at the time when they started racing. And you've worked your way up. How important do you feel that experience was in that 305 class that you earned early in your career to help you to the point today?
It helped a lot. You know, I mean, in some respects, that doesn't seem like that long ago, but in other respects, it seems like a whole lifetime ago. It's crazy to think about now. But, I mean, there's been so many ups and downs between now and then. You know, got to the point with the family car where we really couldn't afford it anymore, and we were trying so hard. It seemed like the harder we tried, the worse everything went. Nobody was having any fun. And so we sort of dissolved that, and then, you know, I picked up with the Davises there a year and a half or so later, and I was just supposed to be for a couple nights, and things went well, and, you know, 3-4 years later and a broken leg, here we are. And it's just one of those things. You know, I had to go back to 305s with them again and race 305s for a while, and I think before I started racing with them, I knew how to drive a race car well, but I hadn't won a lot of races. I didn't know how to win races. You know, every time I got close to the front, I'd, you know, if adverse things happened, I'd get a little nervous and maybe do something and take away from my chances of winning the race. And I think that's why I struggled maybe so much winning at home back then. But I think going back to the 305s with them helped me hone my composure, I guess, as I got closer to the front. And now, I'm not saying I'm mistake-proof or anything like that, but I feel certainly more comfortable racing towards the lead or leading a race for a good portion of the race, certainly more than I ever used to.
Caleb Griffith joining us on the line. You mentioned the broken leg that happened in 2012, I believe, and you're able to come back 1 year later. Does that make this championship just a little more sweeter, being able to come back full circle from that?
Certainly, you know, especially because both of them happened at Attica. You know, it was just, you know, it was a fluke thing. You know, not something that you expect or a typical injury, I guess, for sprint car racing. But, you know, that was a long time and a lot of rehab. And really, to be honest with you, before that, I never thought about getting hurt in a race car. I mean, I'd seen other people get hurt and knew other people that had gotten hurt, but I just never really gave it a thought. And it's not all consuming or anything like that now, but I certainly do think about it more. And I imagine that's just part of getting older, but, you know, once it happens to you once, it's sort of, I don't want to say always on your mind, but it's definitely in there. I don't think it goes away.
Caleb Griffith joining us, and so now you have a 410 championship under your belt, and you're from a racing family, so where does that put you in the hierarchy in the racing family now that you have a 410 title?
Well, I think Gary had one at Wayne County and one at Chillicothe. I won a 305 race at Wayne County a long time ago. Chillicothe, not Wayne County. I've always been terrible at Wayne County. But, 2 305 championships, like I said, those felt like a long time ago. And to be honest with you, I didn't know if I'd ever get another one. So this is pretty cool for me. And not only that, pretty cool for, I work for Gary now at the engine shop. So pretty cool for us, you know, to have a track championship there. And then Jordan Ryan, he runs a Griff engine as well. He won the 305 track championship the other night. So, yeah, Friday was definitely a big night for us. And then my brother, ended up being rookie of the year in the 305 this past year. He just started. So, yeah, we just about couldn't ask for a better Friday or Saturday night this past weekend.
Does your brother hit things off you quite a bit on what to do and what not, or does he pretty much go his own way?
We talk quite a bit. At first, I felt like it was a lot more me talking and him just doing what he wanted, but now I think he listens pretty well. But the hard thing is, you know, there's so much to learn and so much that you have to learn just through your own experience. There's a lot of things that people, you know, Gary would tell me back when I started racing, and I don't know if they were just hard to relate to or if I didn't believe him. It's hard for me to remember because it was so long ago, but I see that with Luke. You know, I tell him things, and I might tell him three or four times, but until he goes and actually does it, you know, give you for instance, here a couple weeks ago, he was racing at Attica, and he's a lot smoother than I was at that stage of the game, and he tears up a lot less equipment than I did. And he told me that he was a little bit apprehensive about going running the top. And I said to him, "Bud, you know, you're so much smoother than I was back then. You know, don't hesitate. If you want to try something, don't hesitate. Just ease your way into it." And this past week, he won a heat race around the top of both ends. I mean, the cushion was ragged thin in the 1-2 end. I didn't know if he had 8 laps any off there, but he went out and proved me wrong. Beat Paul Weaver by, I don't know, a little over a straightaway. So that was pretty neat.
Caleb Griffith joining us, and we've started to look ahead, even though you probably won't be going there this year, but the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals are coming up, and you've run that event several times and been there, and if you had to tell someone that had never been to Oshawegan Speedway for the Canadian Nationals, what would you tell them to convince them to go see it at least once?
Well, I mean, first of all, if you're from the States, you just need to go see a Sprint Car race in Canada just so you can say that you've done it. But second of all, Oshawegan is just a really cool place. You go there and, you know, I'm not going to say that it doesn't have the atmosphere of the Knoxville Nationals, but it has the welcome feeling of the Knoxville Nationals. Everybody that, every time I've been there, that everyone that surrounds the event is more than accommodating. You know, we ran there twice. I had a blast both times. We were pretty fast the second time and, a motor on the first night, so that sort of put us behind the eight ball. But I mean, it's a really cool racetrack, really racy place, and we don't really have the 360 option anymore, and it's kind of difficult for us because the Jim Ford Classic's 20 minutes up the road and always on the same weekend. But you know, someday if I had the opportunity, I'd like to make it back up there because it's just a neat place to go race.
Caleb Griffith joining us, and talking about neat places to race. Sometimes maybe people will lose track of it if they're from the area, but the Fremont Attica atmosphere, I think, is second really to none in sprint car racing. And to describe it for our listeners that aren't from the area, I've always said it's kind of like your biggest high school football game every Friday and Saturday night, where everybody's got a interest in their team or whatever, and it's a very vocal group. It's a lot of fun to be around. What is it like being in that atmosphere every single weekend?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I mean, I don't think the Northern Ohio crowd or teams or however you want to say it, maybe get the press like maybe Knoxville or Eastern Pennsylvania. I don't think there's, you know, the money here. The big teams maybe don't venture out and run as well against the Outlaws on the road and things like that. But when the Outlaws come to Fremont and Attica, the Fremont and Attica teams are there, I think they represent themselves pretty well. And, you know, for a young guy who's just starting out in the 410 ranks around here, you know, it can be, it's tough, you know, it's difficult. And you really have to earn your spot. You know, there's no gimmies around here. And, you know, people, people come here and, I mean, Chris Bell, for example, he came here the other night, and I don't know where he ended up finishing. I think he was running about third or fourth, and tripped the tap in the 3-4 end and ended up looped out, and that's just gives you an idea of how tough the racing is around here. I mean, there's no gimmies. Byron Reed has, I think, 6 Attica championships and a handful of Fremont ones, or maybe it's vice versa, I don't remember. Second to Mark Keegan all time on the Attica win list, and Saturday night was the first race he won all year at Attica. I mean, it's just super competitive anymore. So, like I say, it makes it difficult for somebody coming up, and you really, not just as a driver, but the whole team has to mesh. You know, you really have to be on the right communication page with the guy turning the wrenches on your race car if you want to go fast here anymore. And I think a lot of that's just what it boils down to.
Well, Caleb, congratulations, because I was looking at this, and it's a real accomplishment to win a championship at Attica Raceway Park, because according to them, only 9 other drivers have ever done this. So it's quite a feat, and I'm sure you have some people you need to thank as well.
Yeah, my crew, my guys, Vic Elrick, Bobby Davis, and Brian Franks, it's like I said, only one there, a couple, 3 weeks ago. There's some of the older guys in the pits, but they weren't just as hard, if not harder, than 90% of the people there. Al Davis puts a good race car underneath us. David and Shelley Hoppus from Chalukes, and Colleen Delagrange from McDonald's and Fremont. They all do us a heck of a job. Donnie Atkinson getting us to the racetrack every week and giving us what we need to go fast. This is, like I said, I don't know if this is completely set in yet, but we're looking forward to Fremont. We're, 48 or 50 points out, something like that there, and I think they have 3 races to go. So I guess at this point the goal is just to win races and let the points fall as they may. So it'd be pretty neat to win 2 over the year.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Indeed.
So, well, Caleb, congratulations on getting the first one done. Best of luck the rest of the year, and I look forward to visiting with you a bit more later on the season.
All righty. Thank you.
That's Caleb Griffith. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll have Randy Hannigan. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for newer used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. When you're doing this live, you have to be able to flip things around, and luckily we were able to, and we still managed to squeeze in the Hurricane, Randy Hannigan. And Randy, it's not very often that you get to do something after you've been doing this for a while. For the first time, you are the inaugural winner of a Renegade Sprint Car Series event. So one aspect of this I thought is kind of neat is, well, after, you know, you're a veteran of this at this point, how cool is it to do something you haven't done before in your career, be the first to do something?
Oh, it's definitely rewarding. You know, I mean, you get to be in the record books, and you'll forever be the first one to do it. You know, I mean, it's neat to be able to say I was the inaugural winner, and you know, to have Ed Neumeister a part of it is simply awesome. You know, it's a new beginning, and it's nice to be the first winner. And you know, I guess when Mason's 18 or 25 years old and he can look back on that day, you'll see my name there. So that's it's pretty rewarding.
So congratulations on being the answer to a sprint car trivia question now. And you definitely had to earn this thing, because you didn't start anywhere near the front. How did you make your way up towards the lead?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously it starts out with qualifying. We didn't, it was my fault with qualifying. I adjusted the left rear shock. I had it on the dyno and I didn't set it right. I went out there to qualify and I was just a little bit too tight. So I ended up 12th quick. And then when Jimmy Stinson crashed in the dash, it moved me to 11th. So starting 11th, you know, I mean, you're kind of back, you know, where you don't want to be, because you got a lot of good guys in front of you. I mean, there's the whole field was good for that, you know, for that fact. But, you know, you got Danny Smith, you got Chad Kimmenaw, you know, you got Cole Duncan up there, you know, Caleb Armstrong, which is a young and up and comer. And so, you know, you know, mentally you're trying to plan the rest of the race. And when we got going, you know, I just wasn't really good at the beginning, and we had a red flag, and we were able to do a, you know, couple things on the race car because they opened it up for fuel. And so we got a little bit better and we started racing through there, and I got to run in the, with Jimmy Neer a little bit, and you know, I wasn't really good where I was at. So I got to the back of Chad Kimmenaw and we started racing. So I just moved way up on the racetrack and started squaring the corners off and moving around to see if I could pick up any, you know, any speed anywhere, or if I was any good anywhere else on the racetrack. And I found a comfortable spot and I was able to work my way up through there. And I got up to third, and we had a yellow flag. I don't know, it was probably about 10 to go or so. And I was actually about six, seven, eight to go, somewhere in there. And I passed, I can't remember who it was, but I passed him for second. And I was, you know, setting out after Cole, and, you know, it was Cole Duncan's race. I mean, anybody who was there, he was really good, and I don't know if I'd have been able to run with him. I never had a good shot to race with him. But I felt like I was good enough to, if I had a shot at it, maybe I, you know, if we had a restart, maybe I could get him, maybe I couldn't. But, you know, he got to the outside of a lap car and he had to check up and he got tight. He got into the fence and turned over. And so I inherited the lead with two to go. But, you know, on those notes, you got to put yourself in position to be able to capitalize on those unfortunate events that happen to other people. And that's what we did. And it worked out, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the old saying goes, you know, sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield. So, you know, I was just in the catbird seat and, it worked out for me.
And I'm sure you've lost races like that before too. And as you find it, just all balances out after a while. And, that's how it goes. So, so Randy Hannigan joining us. That was the Renegade Series first race as a race team. You've operated your own race team before and you've always been involved even in the race teams that you didn't own and helping operate them. How did you think the Renegade Series did in their inaugural outing as far as running the event?
You know, it was really smooth. I mean, you know, you kind of anticipate the growing pains and, you know, maybe some of the things that shouldn't happen, the new series, and everything went really smooth. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's some things that need to be worked on, but it wasn't like you were going to the first race at a first racetrack, you know, I mean, it was smooth, the transition was good all the way, you know, with the amount of rain that they had, you know, the track just, you know, you're at the mercy of the racetrack. And so you had yellows, you had reds, you know, and so forth. But everything went really smooth and went off without a hitch. And, you know, there's definitely and more promising things to come with the Renegade. And I think it's going to be the series to have here and to be a part of in the months and years ahead.
Now, you mentioned Ed Neumeister earlier, and you also drive for Dennis Yoakum as well. So you're driving for two different teams, Dennis on the 360 side and Ed on the 410 side. How do you get together and coordinate schedules when you have two different teams like that? Is it hard to overcome conflict sometimes, or does it work out pretty well with everybody?
Well, the good part about that is those two guys are really good friends. So, you know, it flows. It goes with a good flow. You know, I mean, this year was kind of a little bit chaotic there at the beginning, trying to get everything going and getting everything up to speed. But both teams are, you know, up to speed right now and things are really good. You know, like I said, those guys are good friends. So, you know, there's a chance that we all might go to Canada as a team and together and the couple of weeks ahead, and you know, we're just waiting to see how it all plays out. But it, you know, the scheduling, it's just, you know, we didn't really commit to anything this year. I didn't want to commit to the Lima deal, and unfortunately we got ourselves wrapped up in a little bit of a point deal, and then, you know, that happened, getting suspended and, you know, getting DQ'd from a race. So it made it really easy to not chase points. And, you know, in hindsight, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but winning that Renegade race was pretty much like winning the Lima Championship. So be it. You know, I mean, I think everybody in Lima knows that we were the car to beat, not trying to brag or anything like that, but we were definitely a good race team there. And we have been for the last couple of years. And, you know, with Ed and Dennis being able to do what we do with those guys, I don't know if we'll go back to Lima, you know, and it's just one of them things where we've got options now and we might just exercise our options.
And it gave us a hashtag, Hannigate. So we had some fun with that, but you overcame and won during that situation. Now, one thing I thought was kind of interesting, someone was analyzing a little bit how you race at Eldora, and you've had some stellar runs in both the 360 car and in Ed's car at Eldora. And someone compared it to what Hunshaw does on the top, you can do through the middle and the bottom at Eldora. So I wanted to ask you, not to give away trade secrets or anything, but at what point did it clicked there where you found something a little bit different at Eldora that worked for you and you're able to take advantage of it?
Well, you know, I mean, I can run the top if I need to. I mean, it's just not a place that I haven't been real comfortable, you know, in. And, you know, everybody runs a top, and that's obviously the fast line. I mean, but at times it gives up, and at times it's better than the middle of the bottom, you know. But I always have always, through my whole racing career, is, you know, if you're going to beat these guys, you got to be able to run on a race, on a part of the racetrack that nobody else can run on, because there's going to be guys on the top and there's going to be guys on the bottom. So I've always tried to get myself where I can get through the middle, and I've just really worked hard on my shock program and, you know, just trying to be smooth on the throttle. You know, I mean, my dad preached to me when I was a kid racing go-karts, you know, to stay straight and be smooth. And that's all I've ever tried to do was to be smooth, but to also be, you know, fast at it. And at times it's worked really good for us, and other times it hasn't, you know, but, I enjoy running Eldora. That's probably one of my favorite places to race. And, you know, anytime we get to go back there, I look forward to it and look forward to getting through the middle of the racetrack.
And another thing that we both look forward to is going to Glenn Steyer's place at the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, which you mentioned you guys will be heading up there in a few weeks. And I always like to ask every driver that comes on, because I'm sure there's people that are going to be listening to the podcast and on the live show here, why should I go to Oshwegan Speedway? Why should I go to the Canadian Nationals? So what is your best description of that? Why do you think someone should go there?
Well, you know what? It's a format by itself that only Oshwegan does. And, you know, Glenn Steyer's has an awesome crew up there. Everything goes off without a hitch. They've got a plan in place for kind of everything. And the format is it's just something different. And it's really interesting. It's really neat. And to be able to be in the part of the country where you're on an Indian reservation and the things that they do, I mean, they make you feel like you're part of their family. And a lot of racetracks in America needs to learn from that. And it's just one of them things. They treat everybody on equal ground. There's nobody higher and there's nobody lower than the next guy. You could be Steve Kinzer or Sammy Swindell or Randy Hannigan, and you're treated the same. The guys there it's just a really good experience. And I think from a racer's standpoint, they'll enjoy it. The fans will even enjoy it more, because everybody that's, you know, a good 360 team in the eastern part of the United States usually goes up. And the guys that don't, you know, because sometimes they got to work or maybe they can't get across the border and whatever, but it's a really neat experience. I mean, it's just one of them things you got to do at once.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Randy Hannigan. And on that note, what would it mean for you to win that race?
Well, you know, it's one of them things that, you know, I got on my bucket list. As a race car driver, you know, you got races you want to win and before you retire. And unfortunately, I'm getting up there in age with the rest of some of the guys, but I want to win that race, and I'd like to, you know, win the Kings Royal and the Knoxville Nationals, and then I can, you know, I can say I've done what I've wanted to do. You know, I've kind of disappointed myself over the years and maybe let some other people down, because, you know, when I set myself out to do something, I try to accomplish it, just like what every racer does. Because if we go to a race just to go, sometimes we shouldn't go. You know, you go to win or don't go. I mean, and that should be the philosophy with all racers, and I know it is, but it's just sometimes how you get there. And so Oshwegan is one of them races that, you know, I just want to have my name on that shirt and to say that I won that race, and, you know, I'll be in another set of records if that can ever happen.
Now, one thing kind of that broke today, and this wasn't on the topic list originally, but I have to add it, because I've seen you guys converse quite a bit at the racetrack, but Sammy Swindell announced his retirement today. And I saved this question for you, because I think through your years on the road, you'd have the best aspect on this. You know, Sammy retiring, what does it mean to you? And is he a guy that maybe helped you when you were on the road, maybe at first? I see you guys visit quite a bit now. At the races, is he someone that you went to when you were on the road with the World of Outlaws and whatnot?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, everybody knows my car was number one X. And it was only that for one reason, because of Sammy Swindell. I mean, that guy single-handedly took me under his wing when I got started in sprint car racing in 1989. When I was, you know, in the mid-80s, early 80s, when I was racing go-karts out in California, you know, I mean, Sammy was, you know, was my idol. He was the guy that I looked at and said, man, if I can ever race a sprint car, that's the guy I want to be like. That's the guy, you know, just because of his work ethic, you know, I mean, I didn't know his work ethic, but you could see that it was done right. His cars were always clean, sharp, you know. He was the guy that didn't get muddy. You know, when you went out the wheel pack, you could come in, the guy could come in from the racetrack and the car would look like it just went out on the racetrack, you know, like he never got dirty. And, you know, and as growing up in sprint cars, you know, I was like, man, you know, I really like to be like that. And so I got to know him out in California when I was racing go-karts. You know, I'd always go out to where they stayed in the hotels and talk to them. And myself and my brother became friends with him. And he would always acknowledge us when we showed up at that time of the year on the West Coast tour with the Outlaws. And it was very gratifying when he recognized us. You know, you're like, oh, hey, you know, Sammy recognized you. Wow, that's cool, you know. And then it was 1987, 88. He was running, you know, the TMC cars. And I'd asked him, it was actually 88, I believe. He was running the TMC car, and we were out in California at a World of Wheels show, and I hadn't raced sprint cars yet. And I asked him, I said, hey, Sammy, what do you do with your old helmets? And he's like, well, I don't know. You know, I just hang them up in the basement, you know, or just, you know, I just put them away, you know, once they're used. And I said, I'd like to have a helmet if you ever had one. He's like, yeah, no problem. And so, you know, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, Sammy, you know, I gave him one of my business cards because I used to do some hand lettering back then. I was a sign painter. So I gave him a business card, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I gave him my business card. I feel pretty important because I just gave Sammy Swindell my business card. I go on and forget about it. And, you know, I can't remember where I was at. And, I get a phone call from my mother because my address was at my mom and dad's house, that a box showed up. And it was about a year or so later. And, I'm like, well, what was it? She's like, you'd never guess. And it was a helmet from Sammy Swindell. It was a TMC helmet. And I still have that helmet today, and that's my prized possession. But so that being, you know, I mean, Sammy's a really, really focused person, if people don't already know that. So when I got started in sprint car racing, I called him, started asking him questions. And Sammy's the type of person that he's like E.F. Hutton. When he talks, you better be listening. And I just really paid attention to what he was saying. And he's helped me more than anybody in racing. He's led me to understand shocks better, understand racetracks better, how to look at tires, understanding of the race car. And, you know, that's a part of Sammy that a lot of people don't understand, that, you know, he is really helpful. If you ask him a question, he's going to tell you honestly. He's not going to lie to you. And, you know, so that grew it. By me asking him all that, it grew into a great friendship. And, you know, I still mentor the guy today. I mean, the guy's just an unbelievable person. He's a great family guy. You know, I watched Kevin grow up. Kevin used to stay at my house in California and play video games. And, you know, now to see him in the Nationwide. So, you know, it's very sad to see him retire. But, you know, there's a day when you just know it's your day to kind of stop, and maybe he's reached that point.
Randy Hannigan, wow, that was great stuff. That being said, you had mentioned that, you know, you're, I don't want to say you're getting up there because you're not that old, because you're not that much older than me, and darn it, I'm not old yet. But do you think if you got to a point where you were, would you do that like that, where you just say, I'm done? Would you do the farewell tour, do you think, like Steve's doing, or would you just finally say one day, you know what, I'm going to go do something else?
Well, you know, it's just, I don't know, you know, I mean, you know, you'd kind of like to do a farewell tour, but, you know, you know, then you could do more with it. But I think doing it the way that he's doing it, you know, he's just maybe woke up, realized that, hey, I'm done, you know, I mean, and, you know, maybe he might run selected race here or there or whatever, you know, and still do the Chili Bowl. You know, but, you know, you go to the Chili Bowl. It's not Chili Bowl. It's Sammy Bowl, you know, and it's just very sad to see him go. And I don't know if I would do it that way, but, you know, I guess, you know, sometimes you just realize that you had enough and you move on. And I think that's what he's doing.
Well, I can personally say that I hope the hurricane is still blowing through town for years to come, because it's been a fun ride getting to know you over the years. And congratulations on winning that Renegade race. And, man, I'm looking forward to going to Oshawegan. And I don't know about you, but I almost wish it was this week. You probably don't, because there's a lot of prep to do. But I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, I look forward to it because, you know, I'm very fortunate to be friends with Miles Hill up there. And we get to go to his place and, you know, work out of their shop and do a couple of things. And, you know, it's a great experience up there. And I think if anybody goes that has never gone before, it'll be one of them races that you'll reschedule. You'll be able to set your clock by it, and every year you'll go back. I mean, those guys do an awesome job up there, and I look forward to it.
So if you're listening out there, it's not just me. Hannigan's hooked too. he's just about passionate about this as I am. Well, Randy, congratulations on the win and on the great season too. You're having a great year, and hopefully it finishes out the way it's gone the rest of the time.
Well, I sure do appreciate it, and look forward to some future interviews, maybe after we win Oshawegan.
Hopefully we'll be talking on the tape recorder then. We've done that a lot lately, so hopefully we'll get to do that again. Randy, thank you for the time tonight, and best of luck the rest of the year.
Thanks a lot for having us, and look forward to more of the Renegade races.
All right, and that's going to conclude this edition of TJ Slideways Live right here for the Engine Pro Studios. We're running a little bit late, so thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.